For leading us in the worship this morning. Wow. I'm reminded that this is about God, not us. And I appreciate the clapping and just the joy of being able to worship God. Yes. And I appreciate the yeses and the amens and the come on. Yeah. God brings us together to worship Him, and it's about Him. Amen. Would you join me in prayer, please? Father, as we enter into Your Word this morning and the resolutions that are to come, Father, we pray that You would lead us and guide us. This really is about You. Father, we want to hear from You. We want to see You. We want You to speak to our hearts. We ask for it, that You would transform us to be the men, the women, that You have created us to be, that You, God, would receive the honor and glory. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. The theme verse for the resolution that we are going to be making this morning and witnessing, that theme verse is Joshua chapter 24, verse 15, the last part of that verse, which is a pretty familiar verse. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. You heard that before? That's Joshua's resolution. Before we come to our testimonies and resolution this morning, we want to think very carefully about what Joshua is saying there, what that resolution means for each one of us. Joshua 24 is the last chapter of the book of Joshua. After 40 years in the wilderness, God's people have been wandering around, and they've entered the promised land. They've crossed the Jordan River. They've taken out Jericho with its walls. They've wiped out tons of people. They've compromised with some. They have not completely taken over the land that God told them to take. But by God's grace, by God's patience and God's power, they have established themselves on the land. And Joshua 24 is a huge moment in the life of God's people. It is the end of a long journey, years of conquest. And so Joshua has gathered God's people together, the nation together, at a place called Shechem. You can see the map here. Shechem is up north. It is west of the Jordan River, just to the east of Mount Ebal and Mount Gerizim. Shechem is a hugely significant location for God's people. 600 years earlier, after God had established His covenant with Abraham, promising to give Abraham a land, to make Abraham into a great nation, to bless all the peoples of the world through Abraham's descendants. When Abraham arrived in the land for the first time, it was here, it was in this location in Shechem that he built his first altar to the Lord. Jacob dug a well there. Joseph's brothers, when Joseph was looking for, went out looking for them, they threw him into a pit. They sold him into slavery in Egypt. It was at Shechem that they were out pasteurizing their flocks. All right? The patriarchs dwelt in this land. The last time Israel was gathered together at Shechem was just as God's people were beginning their conquest of the promised land. And at that time, Joshua had gathered together God's people, some 2 million people strong. He had divided them in half. And you can see them, half of them are on the slopes of Mount Ebal. The other half are on the slopes of Mount Gerizim. And there's this valley between them that forms this kind of natural amphitheater. And in front of each half of the nation, in the extensive, you know, standing spots, are the elders, are the officers, the judges of the people. And on center stage was Joshua. And he's there with the Ark of the Covenant, signifying God's presence with His people. And there are priests, anointed, consecrated, set apart for God's service. And sacrifices are offered on an altar of uncut stones. It's an amazing worship service in this spiritually significant place. God's people worshiping God, as God's people are about to move forward into conquering the land. So now at the end of that conquest, the last chapter, Joshua gathers the people together again to this sacred location. And where Joshua 24, chapter 24, fits into all of this, Joshua has been giving a history lesson. He's been reminding the people about what God, their God, has done for them, including taking them out of slavery in Egypt, including making them into a people and providing for them and putting up with them and wiping out their enemies and giving them this land that they're standing on, fulfilling His promises to them. So Joshua's history lesson is huge on emphasizing God. There's a theme that runs through all that. Trust God, and He brings the victory. Trust God and obey Him, and you'll experience God's blessings. God's victory and blessings are an outcome of faithful obedience to God. God brings victory. God fulfills His promises. And sometimes we need to be reminded of what Joshua is reminding God's people. You know, it is way too easy for us to think that all we have and all that we experience, all that we've been blessed with, that all that is about us. And we need to be brought back to reality. Life is about God. Our lives need to be focused on God and living in faithful obedience to Him. So it's in this setting of worship and remembering, of refocusing on God, that Joshua gives God's people his, Joshua's resolution, what we have recorded here in verse 15. Would you read Joshua's resolution out loud together with me? We're going to start back at verse 14, kind of take a running start into what Joshua says. But let's read this out loud together, get it fresh in our minds. Let's read together. "Now, therefore, fear the Lord and serve Him in sincerity and faithfulness. Put away the gods that your father served beyond the river and in Egypt, and serve the Lord. And if it is evil in your eyes to serve the Lord, choose this day whom you will serve, whether the gods of your fathers served in the region beyond the river, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." The therefore that's there in verse 14 is a summary. Because of everything that God has done, therefore, fear the Lord and serve Him in sincerity and faithfulness. A single-hearted, faithful service. How do we do that? Well, put away the gods that your father served on the other side of the Jordan River, back in Ur or back in Egypt. And if it's evil in your eyes to serve the Lord, meaning if you really don't want to serve God, then choose for yourselves today whom you will serve. There are other choices. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Joshua's resolution means making a choice. Making a choice. There are options here. Right? There's a list of gods to choose from. The gods our fathers served back in Mesopotamia, back in Ur. Or you could choose the gods of Egypt. Those are maybe a little more familiar. Those are the gods from your parents' slavery days. Or the gods of the Amorites that surround us, the gods of the land we're occupying. You know, you could just adopt some local god as your own. Or you could choose the God who's defeated all his other gods and gave you this land. But you have to choose. Choose wisely. And with that choice comes a requirement of service. You see that there? Fear the Lord and serve Him. Choosing a God means that we need to serve that God to gain its favor, to gain its protection, to appease its wrath. Temples need to be built. They need to be maintained. Altars need to be constructed. Wood needs to be gathered. Rituals need to be performed. These gods are going to require human sacrifice, especially the local ones. Our children are going to be slain on their altars. They require fertility rites, religious prostitution. Choosing a God is easy. But the choice being offered is more than which God. The choice includes service. Choosing to fear the Lord, to honor and respect Him as your God, to trust Him with your life, means that you must also serve Him. How? Verse 14. In sincerity and in faithfulness. Serving God means serving God and serving only God. Single-hearted, faithful service. Do you remember Rachel? Remember her, Jacob's second wife? The time came for Jacob, his wives, his children, his livestock, to escape from Laban to head home. And you remember this? And by the way, home was Shechem, where Jacob bought a piece of land and pitched his tent. As they're escaping, Rachel steals Laban's household gods, the gods that she grew up with. She hides these all-powerful gods in her saddlebag to protect them, to hide them. Well, let's be careful. Jacob and family, these are people that are in touch with God in a big way. They're in touch with the living God. They know God. They honor God. But then here's Rachel. I'm going with my husband. I'm taking along dad's gods just in case. In verse 14, when Joshua says to put away the gods of your fathers, that means that some of God's people were still trying to hang on to the gods that they've been carrying around with them. You know, we saw all that God did, the conquest of the promised land thing, but just in case this doesn't work out, we've got these gods in reserve. Let's not be too hard on these guys, all right? We do this. You know, we look at what goes on around us and we stress out. We lose sleep over what may happen. We see all that God does, what He's done in our lives, and we can still hang on to our self-will, our own clever plans, and our own solutions to our lives, to things and people, trusting them rather than God. Jesus said, where your treasure is where your what? Heart will be also. Things that we value occupy the attentions of our heart. Our mind dwells on them. We protect them and invest our resources and time and effort in them. We struggle against surrendering them. Jesus went on, same teaching. Remember this? No one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or he'll be devoted to one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and possessions, stuff. We can't be double-hearted in our service to God. Either we live serving Him or we don't. Because service comes from the heart, the core of who we are. Service demonstrates who it is that deep down we really have chosen to trust with our lives. It's one thing to say, in God we trust. You know, God is worthy of our trust. Most of us would probably agree with that statement. But it's another thing to live faithfully serving God. And so these people need to make a choice. Fish or what? Cut bait, right? Choose who you'll serve. All those gods of your fathers, the gods of the culture around you, or the God who's really worthy of your trust. And the point of this review of history, Joshua's review of history, is to make absolutely certain that God's people in this sacred place, at this decisive moment in their history, as Joshua is about to die and the guard of leadership is changing in the nation, that they're all on the same page. They are absolutely clear about one basic truth. It's God. It is God who has done this for you. And that truth requires a response, a choice, a resolution. Who will you serve? Which is Joshua's resolution. You all can do what you want to do. But as for me and my house, we will serve God. And notice that Joshua goes first. Joshua steps up to the plate. He chooses to lead. Joshua's resolution means choosing to take personal responsibility for how he, Joshua, will live. Me and my house. Not my house and I. See, Joshua's choice isn't based on an opinion poll. It's based on taking personal responsibility before God. Joshua is the head of the home. Leadership leads. Godly leadership leads towards God. Godly men take personal responsibility to lead godly. And today, we need men who will take personal responsibility to lead their families towards God by example, by choice, by resolving to themselves faithfully, obediently, exclusively to serve God, regardless of whatever choice anyone else may make. Joshua, with the position he held, he's esteemed. He's the respected leader of Israel. You know, he doesn't go on to establish a dynasty with Joshua as the first king, Joshua the First. In fact, there's nowhere in Scripture where there's a record of Joshua's descendants. And Joshua himself was the son of Nun. It's a really bad pun, by the way. But with all his successes here at the end of his life, Joshua is respected. He's a man of integrity, of humility. He has continually pointed the people, influenced them towards God, who's demonstrated for a nation what it means to walk faithfully with God and what it means to serve God. And Joshua's resolution is, for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. It's a summary of that life. It is a plea for the nation to follow his example and do the same. I made the choice. No other gods but God. I have resolved to serve him and him alone. And now that choice is before you. What choice will you make? How will you resolve to live? There's a huge confusion today as to what it means to be a man, to be a father, to be a husband. Bottom line, the vast majority of destructive issues facing our society today would not exist if men knew how to be godly men, and not only knew, but resolved to live as godly men, as godly husbands, as godly fathers, as godly leaders in our church and community. How many of you saw the movie Courageous? Yeah. So some of our men have been engaged in this study this past summer. We've been studying that book written by Stephen and Alex Kendrick, The Resolution for Men, which is written as an unapologetic call for men to live courageously for their faith and families. It is a book that clearly challenges men to step up and be the men that God has created us to be. And the resolution is not a call to arrogance or a declaration of perfection. In fact, in part, it's owning up to our past failure and recognition of our inadequacy. The resolution is not a list of good intentions based on wishful thinking, like some kind of New Year's resolution where all the strength and wisdom comes from us to make that happen. What our men are stepping up to this morning, the resolution is a choice to surrender our lives individually to God, to take personal responsibility to passionately pursue God daily, to place ourselves under the authority of God's Word, to allow God to transform us into the men that He has created us to be, and by His strength, by the enabling of the Holy Spirit, to step up to the plate and faithfully serve God, to lead as godly men in our families, in church, in community, and nation, regardless of the choices that others may make. Let's bow together in prayer. Father, we are challenged by the resolution of Joshua to see a man who, in an incredibly difficult context, leading a nation 2 million plus, in conquering a land of armed to the teeth pagans who resisted them, who hated them. Through all that, to see that the resolution that he makes, I will serve God, me and my house, we will serve God, that resolution comes in that context. Unswervingly, he lived trusting you. Father, I pray for each one of us here, men and women, children, those coming into adulthood, that we would choose to serve You and You alone. That, God, You would make us to be the men and the women that You have created us to be. That our families, our homes would be transformed. God, if You so choose, You would transform this community and even this nation and beyond. For Your honor, for Your glory, we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Going to invite 7 men to step forward. We're going to do this in alphabetical order. What we're going to share is testimonies of where this resolution fits into our lives. So I'm going to ask them, I'm going to do this in alphabetical order. Lenny Cambridge, Adrian Hernandez, Fred Michaelis, Robert Radcliffe, and Robert Solis. And to ask them, they're going to share with us, and then you will see on your message notes on the flip side is the resolution. And Alex, Via. Yeah. He's looking at me, I'm going, why are we doing this eye contact thing? Inside your message notes, you'll see the resolution. So after the men are through sharing their testimonies, George is going to come up and lead us with our families. We're going to be making this resolution before all of you as witnesses, our brothers and sisters in Christ. So, Lenny, you get to go first, bro.
You're going to end up down the road. And through this Bible and through these studies and getting to know the men strengthened me. And, you know, eventually be held accountable to where I need to be. And taking this step, committing myself, me first, you know, and then my family will follow. That's what this is all about, me taking responsibility, because I alone will be standing before God Himself. Not my family, not my wife, not my kids, but me. I'm going to be responsible for them. And this is me. I'm taking this on. And this means a lot to me. Thank you.
Hallelujah. I'm going to try to do this in 2 minutes, Pastor. I know that sometimes I take a little longer because I get caught up, I get overworked, but... Forgive me. I just sometimes, you know, I've been that type of person when I was little. I was a real wild boy. I loved He-Man. I loved jumping off of couches and with the towel on my back, being Superman. So I was that person. But my childhood at the end, I came from a broken family. My father and mother didn't work out. You know, I did go to church at times, but it was never set stable. You know, I did later make my own growing up without a father figure. I did become a big-time 10-year veteran. I should say veteran, an addict, but it felt like a veteran at one point. But it was, you know, it was a real trying time. And, you know, I wasn't married or anything, but I did come meeting my wife later on. She herself came from a relationship. It was broken. And just to have the privilege and the blessing of God's grace, bringing two broken families and mending them together, you know, I knew at one point I was having three little children to raise that I didn't want them to go and expect or live the life that I went through, the choices, the bad decisions that I did or my wife that we saw. So we really made a point to our lives. We said, you know what, if anyone's going to make the right road for us, it would be God. And there's a scripture right here. It says in Psalms 139, starting at verse 7, it says, "Where can I go from your spirit? Or where can I flee from your presence? If I ascend into heaven, you are there. And if I make my bed in hell, behold, you are there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the othermost parts of the sea, even there your hand shall lead me, and your right hand shall hold me. And if I say, surely the darkness shall fall on me, even the night shall be light about me. But indeed the darkness shall not hide from you, but the night shines as the day, and the darkness and the light are both alike to you." And I love that scripture because it really helps me to understand that, you know what, every decision, every part of my being, you know, even nook and cranny, if I try to be a rat in a hole, God sees it, you know. And it's like I really needed to have truth in my life. I really needed direction. I wanted guidance. I was a big time denier. You know, I tried to deny, but I have precious children now that I want to make good choices. I want to live the life that God wants me to have. And I know it's only through Jesus. It's only through Jesus. Nothing else. If you don't have Jesus in the center of your being, you're nothing. Because He is the one that keeps it together. Amen? Amen. All right. Thank you.
Well, I came to this study in a little bit different place than these gentlemen who still have kids in the home. I'm at the point with kids out of the home, more of a mentoring role. And so I spent a lot of time looking back at what I didn't do so well. And one of the things that I kept seeing over and over in the relationship to your children section was the importance of being quick to ask forgiveness of your kids when you realize you've done something wrong, said something wrong, because it's not wrong to admit that you made a mistake. That whether it's your wife or your kids or a friend, if you can go to them and say, you know, God's been bringing it to my heart that what I said or what I did was not right in His eyes before you, and I ask your forgiveness. And that's something that in our humanness is very difficult to do. So that's one of the major things I got out of this. The other part is that the importance of putting family first. Yes, your job that helps support your household is very important. But when it starts becoming first choice when it comes to doing things, rather than, yes, I have a responsibility, I'm scheduled on that day, there's nothing I can do about it, but, oh, we need you to come in for extra hours, can you make it? No, I have a activity with my family that I put as a priority. I can come in another time and take care of that same thing, but no, I can't make it that time. Making those kinds of choices that your children then know that they're number one. Your wife knows that she's number one in your life. That is one of the major things that this resolution book was emphasizing in terms of how we relate to our families.
I have shared in the past, but just brief, when in July of 1965, I was at a 5-day club, and gave my life to Jesus at that point. I was 4. And looking back at my life, I see the presence of God from that day. And I see God pursuing me from that day. And, you know, if you have questions about this, we can talk about it a little bit more. But man, there are times I have royally messed up in my life. And I have made some very serious mistakes along the way. There's stuff I've struggled with and some crud that I've had to work through. But through all of that, I have seen God pursuing me, and I've seen his presence in my life. And God has been working to show me that I need to trust him and not trust myself. I will tell you, that's a little bit hard as an only child. You tend to be a little self-focused. It's kind of an occupational hazard. I don't know. But God has been working with me on that. And as I think about some significant turning points in my life, I'll share just two of these. One was about 25 years ago, I had a breakdown. And the result of that was about 5 years of counseling with a godly counselor. And God used that to help me to understand more of what was going on in my life and where it needed to be redirected towards him. Also, about 16, 17 years ago, God convicted me that I needed to spend time regularly reading his word and time in prayer with him, personal, regular time. And God has used that. God has been working on me in relationships. He's been teaching me what it means to be a husband and a father and a son. Through the midst of that, God has blessed me with an incredible godly wife who is incredibly patient with me. And incredible kids. He's been teaching me what it means to be a pastor and to serve him. He's given me a great congregation to be a part of. Some of the things that come out more visibly in that, of course, is, you know, I've lost a lot of weight recently. That's God working in my life. People say, well, how'd that happen? The answer is God. And I realize that behind all that, what I've been dealing with and trying to understand is what does a godly man look like? There's a scene in the movie Courageous where the guys are sitting around a table and the question is asked, so when did you know when did you first know that you were a man? And I can tell you that I can answer that question theologically and doctrinally, but in terms of personally, I've struggled with that. You know, I have godly parents, but my dad struggled with issues that I think his stepfather struggled with. And some of those issues I've had to struggle with. And there's some things in my relationship with my dad that were missing. And so trying to understand, how do you answer that question? What is a godly man? I really appreciated the Resolution Book, Chapter 4 especially, where it was 7 points, biblically grounded, systematically with clarity, there was the definition and explanation of what a godly man is. And it was like an aha moment. I just latched on to that. And so as I see God working in my life, what I'm coming to today before my family and before each of you is, I think, an outward commitment to what God has already been doing in my life. I'm not there yet. This is a process. You're still going to have to be patient with me. But I believe at this moment to make this choice as to what it means to be a godly man, husband, father, is that by God's grace and God enabling me, this is what I choose to do. This is how I choose, resolve to live.
Hello, everyone. I've been serving the Lord now for like 2 years, and I found out that they were having that Bible study of the GED, and I knew that I needed to be a little bit better of a person and a Christian, so I got into that, and, well, make this really short and brief. I just lost plenty of thought and everything else. Well, yeah, God has helped me get a church home. What's it, you guys? Some friends in the church. He's helped me get an apartment. He's also helped me get better at the things I wasn't so good at. And I just know that that book was a very good thing. I have to say. Thank you.
I'll keep it short. Alex said he needed 5 minutes, so I'll keep it short. I appreciate Pastor Steve saying he lost the weight because I found it. So, but if it's God's will, man, it's okay. I joined this group because I watching the movie. Those of you who watched the movie, that the main character, he said, and he wasn't a bad father. He loved his family, but he kind of said he wasn't good enough, and I know I need to improve. I mean, there's things. I'm not a bad father, but I can be better. I mean, I've been blessed. You know, wife who loves me. 3 beautiful kids. I could have a bad day at work and come home. It's like just the smiles, and it's, you know, bad day's gone. So, I mean, that's good. I grew up in a Christian home, but my dad, he loved Jesus, but I could feel that I could never go to him with problems. And my kids, they can talk and they come with me with their problems, and that's good. And that's kind of what I want them. I mean, they're still young, but as teenagers, I kind of want that relationship, close relationships with my kids, so that they can come to me and my wife with anything, any concerns. And that's what one of the problems I had as a teenager, just kind of keeping everything in. And I want to be a better father. There's things I can do, and reading this book, it kind of, changed my life a little bit. It's like Pastor Steve said, it's a process and learning. I had a problem, just an addiction, video games, instead of spending time with kids, I'd play video games, online. And now I said, I need to get rid of that, and started buying kid games, and it was a mistake, because now a 6-year-old can beat me in the video games. I mean, it's embarrassing. I mean, but that's good. I mean, we spend family time, doing that, and, Stephanie can beat me, and Brianna, Daniela's almost there. She's only 5, and she's, so it's good. It's family time, so. And I just ask for, prayers, for all the men up here, and keep the families close. Thank you.
All right. First of all, I don't like this stuff. I shared a couple things with the men that I don't like hugging and I don't like public speaking. So they've been harassing me since. Anyway, so Pastor said 2 minutes. So I'm going to take a minute and a half. Testimony in the group, the study. I don't want to really talk about me, really. It was a good study, great time with the guys, but I think more I just want to encourage men to get in the game. It's funner when you're actually playing than when you're sitting on the sidelines. And it was a good time through the study just to look at the valuables that, our wives, our children, and just our job. And to grasp that significance as a father and a leader of our home in the church, because as leadership goes, so does a congregation, a corporation, what a family. So I just want to encourage men to, just because we're here doesn't mean we've arrived or I've arrived. Get the book, read it, get in the game, and it really takes men, as iron sharpens iron, so does one man sharpen another. It takes accountability groups. It takes groups like this to really keep moving forward. So, but it was a great study for me. Great to get to know the guys and their families. And this is a great, great church family. So I just want to share that. Thank you, guys.
Thanks, guys. I'm going to invite the guys to step down from the platform. We can face the overhead, and our families to step up with us. And George, you're going to come up, and George is going to lead us in a responsive reading through and making of this resolution. Families, come on up. This is your time to be with your dads and husbands, and you're with our family. Okay? Yeah. Cool.
And then George is going to lead us in a time of prayer afterwards.
I just want to say a couple of things. Number one, as the grandfather in the group, they let me share in the meetings, and I had a great time. I was truly blessed to be with these leaders and future leaders of our church. And I think that this study was very significant for Creekside. I see other men getting involved, and I gained so much from studying the resolution and what it meant to me. I was just really blessed by these men who are making this commitment. I know, too, that as we go forward after making a commitment like this, we're going to be tested. So we've got to be in prayer, and we've got to really know that the Lord is with us. Okay, I'm going to go ahead and start. I do solemnly resolve before God to take full responsibility for myself, my wife, and my children. I will love them, protect them, serve them, and teach them the Word of God as the spiritual leader of my home.
I will love them, protect them, serve them, and teach them the Word of God as the spiritual leader of my home.
I will be faithful to my wife, to love and honor her, and be willing to lay down my life for her as Jesus Christ did for me. I will bless my children and teach them to love God with all their hearts, all their minds, and all their strength.
I will bless my children and teach them to love God with all their hearts, all their minds, and all their strength.
I will train them to honor authority and live responsibly.
I will train them to honor authority and live responsibly.
I will confront evil, pursue justice, and love mercy. I will pray for others and treat them with kindness, respect, and compassion.
I will pray for others and treat them with kindness, respect, and compassion.
I will work diligently to provide for the needs of my family.
I will work diligently to provide for the needs of my family.
I will forgive those who have wronged me and reconcile with those I have wronged. I will learn from my mistakes, repent of my sins, and walk with integrity as a man answerable to God.
I will learn from my mistakes, repent of my sins, and walk with integrity as a man answerable to God.
I will seek to honor God, be faithful to His church, obey His word, and do His will. I will courageously work with the strength God provides to fulfill this resolution for the rest of my life and for His glory.
I will courageously work with the strength God provides to fulfill this resolution for the rest of my life and for His glory.
As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord.
As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord.
Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, Lord, we just lift up these men of honor. Lord, we just pray that you will surround them with your protection. Lord, help them to be able to fulfill their resolution. Help them to be able to fulfill their responsibilities. Lord, help this to be forever in their thoughts and in their as they go about. Lord, we feel that this is a real strengthening of Creekside Church. Lord, bless these men, bless these families, and most of all, bless Creekside Church. Help it to grow, help it to be strong. Lord, we ask these things in your precious name. Amen.
As the worship team comes forward, I don't know if you guys, the resolutions are here to sign, if you would like to sign these. And the worship team is going to come forward to lead us in our closing song.